song. There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one, do not get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big one. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. All picket guy. You can go out to eat, that's for sure, but nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew, make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, eat them with gravy, eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on the side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Life I lead, I'd be Johnny Tomato Seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. But when I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden would be much better, and I could be pushing up my homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Welcome to Your Homegrown Food. I'm your host, Wander Fox. You are tuned in to 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. And this is a half-hour show all about the alternative food movement. And to start off, I'd like to tell you about a new TV show that I heard that's very inspiring. It starts on Friday, March 26th, and it's called Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. And I'm thinking this is going to be a really good show because Jamie Foxx is a chef who improved England's school lunches. And now he is in Huntington, West Virginia, which has been called the unhealthiest city in America. And he is starting his new cooking initiative. So tune in that new TV show to see something that I think probably goes along with the food alternative food movement. His show is called Food Revolution. Go Jamie. So I found an interesting article that is all about the real cost of fast food. So I was going to read to you from this article. It's from eatwell.com. It's called Fast Food, the Real Cost of Hamburger. A McDonald's Big Mac costs about $3.50, but Raj Patel, author of the new released The Value of Nothing, says society pays a much higher price. Tolls on the environment, on taxpayers, and on public health give the burger a price tag that's way out of our budget. The environment. Worldwide, meat production is estimated to emit more greenhouse gases than do all forms of global transportation or industrial processes combined. Just producing the 550 million Big Macs sold each year in the U.S. creates 2.66 billion pounds of carbon dioxide. Offsetting of these emissions could cost as much as $36.4 million. For food subsidies, cattle are fattened on corn, the most highly subsidized crop in America. From 1995 to 2006, federal corn subsidies totaled $56.2 billion. Thanks to corn subsidies, the American beef industry saves on average $501 million a year. Social subsidies. Fast food companies are keeping people employed, but the average full-time fast food worker makes less than $17,000 a year. Poverty line wages that the government supplements at a cost of more than $1 billion a year in taxpayer-funded Medicaid, food stamps, and direct payments. Public health. A Big Mac at 540 calories provides 30% of the average woman's daily caloric need and nearly 25% of the average man's. It also contains 10 grams of saturated fat. That's half the daily upper limit of saturated fat for most women and 40% for most men. Costs to treat diet-related diseases in the U.S. are estimated at up to $735 billion annually. Excessive meat consumption figures largely into heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and cancer. Whew. Boo-hoo. That's intense. So, instead of eating fast food, we might think about gleaning food from our community. This is an inspiring article that I also wanted to read to you. It is from USA Today, and it's called More Urbanites Have Their Pick of Fresh Fruit. Last fall, and it's by Ben Jones, a USA Today reporter. Last fall, Eric Alprin, a San Francisco artist, heard about blackberries, plums, and loquats growing on public property in his city and free for the picking. Armed with bags and a pole device for picking fruit from tall branches, Alperin and his wife went foraging. It was great, he said. We picked as much as we could carry and had beautiful, fresh, free city fruit, Alperin said. I'll definitely go picking again. Fruit picking opportunities like that are becoming more common as volunteers in cities including Boston, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Madison, Wisconsin, mobilize behind a goal of planting fruit trees on public land and in city parks and neighborhoods. This is part of what's obviously been an explosion in interest in locally grown and organic food, said Janet Parker, a founding member of a group called Madison Fruits and Nuts. I think we're coming to realize more and more that it doesn't make any sense at this late date with climate change being what it is to truck in so much of our food from California, in the cases of apples, sometimes New Zealand. Free fruit also is available for picking in season on public land in Chicago, San Francisco, Austin, Minneapolis, New York, according to neighborhoodfruit.com, a site that helps people track down available fruit. Parker works with other volunteers to add fruit trees to parks in her Wisconsin city, which has a population of 27,700. The group wants to initially plant trees in four parks and await city approval. It seeks funding from a California-based nonprofit, the Fruit Tree Planting Foundation, which helps establish fruit trees at parks and schools. Kem Akin, the foundation's executive director, said fruit trees in parks are not new, but there's been a recent movement towards getting more trees into city parks, more tree nutrition into city parks as well. Akin said that in the past year, his group has been inundated with funding requests from cities and counties in California, Nevada, Georgia, Wyoming, Florida, Arizona, and Vermont. The group will make funding decisions on these projects this year. Since 2005, the foundation has provided trees and advice to planting projects in 20 states, Ekin said. It's a good way to get the community mobilized. It's a good way to get everybody to learn about sustainability, about environmental stewardship, and about botany, he said. Our goal is to strategically donate and plant fruit tree orchards to areas where the harvest most benefits communities. Ekin said that in some cities, groups glean fruit from urban orchards and donate the produce to food pantries. That's the plan for some of the fruit in urban orchards in Philadelphia. Since 2007, a group called the Philadelphia Orchard Project has helped establish 17 urban orchards in the city, including 4 on school property and 1 at a public park. Other orchards are planted on land owned by nonprofit groups. Orchard Director Phil Forsyth said volunteers have planted about 200 trees. They are all over the city, generally in low-income neighborhoods. He said, community food security is part of our mission, so we partner with groups where the orchard will benefit people who would otherwise have limited access to fresh produce. Creating a group orchard involves a lot more than sticking trees in the ground. Laura Whitmore, community relations coordinator for Madison's Park Division, said people who want to plant fruit trees in her city's parks must pay for the trees and do the work. First, they must submit a planting, harvesting, and maintenance plan and get city approval. She said the park must be appropriate for fruit trees. We wouldn't be putting them in a soccer field, she said. People looking for some fruit trees can go to neighborhoodfruit.com, which maps the location of fruit trees on private and public land that are open for picking. The site lists more than 10,000 fruit and nut trees in 25 cities. On January 1, it launched a 99-cent iPhone application that helps people track down trees close to their locations. We're anticipating as spring gets longer and as we get into summer, there's going to be a lot of interest in it, said Katia Petro, co-founder of the site. So that's very exciting. Go to neighborhoodfruit.com. I've also seen a website called fallenfruit.com, I believe it is. You can find some fruit trees where you might be able to pick some fruit for free. Uh-huh. I want to read a USA Today article by Chuck Rosch. A White House garden that produces more than vegetables. The Washington, the garden is planted. The seeds are stirring in freshly turned soil. Soon they will send out shoots into a world yearning for growth and renewal. Victory gardens, those relics that Eleanor Roosevelt helped popularize during World War II, are chic again. Thank the Obama White House and a pair of whimsical 20-somethings who practice something they called nudge politics. Who would have thought that in an age when computers are called apples and farming has become a distant agribusiness, an old earthy symbol of self-reliance would grow with such sudden fervor? Long live seeds. There are already an estimated 18,000 community gardens around the country, and there is evidence that public, private, and private plots are expanding everywhere. Pardon the pun, but seeds are a rare growth industry during this recession. Sales are booming. The American Seed Trade Association's Gretchen Flinley said vegetable seed sales are up 20-40% this year after declining over the previous 20. We're kind of excited, she said. We hope it sticks. This gardening renaissance comes at the crossroads of several trends: tight family food budgets, an environmental movement focused on modestly practical things one person can do, and food safety scares on everything from meat to nuts. The Back to the Earth movement has gotten the ultimate PR push. First Lady Michelle Obama has planted the world's most famous new garden on the White House grounds. Organic garden activists Daniel Bowman Simon and Casey Gustauro pushed a new victory garden while traveling 11,000 miles around the country last year in a school bus with a garden on the roof they named Topsy Turvy. Their White House Organic Farm Project gathered more than 10,000 signatures urging the next occupants of the White House to lead by example in growing a garden. Michelle Obama's White House garden symbolizes much more than dreams of a few plump tomatoes or juicy snap peas. With the exception of collecting compost from the Supreme Court and the Capitol building, it pretty much has met all of our expectations, joked Simon, 28. Last week, Mrs. Obama helped an army of gardens of grade schoolers plant lettuce, herbs, onion, cucumbers, peppers, and peas, with tomatoes to follow. She told the students from Bancroft Elementary School in Washington that when she accompanied President Obama to Europe and Asia earlier this month, the first thing everyone asked about was the freshly turned dirt on the White House lawn. From Prince Charles on down, Mrs. Obama said, "They were all excited about this garden. Apparently, Americans are excited about gardens in their neighborhood, too." Burpee, the Pennsylvania-based pioneer in the seed catalog industry, reports that business in seeds and transplants was up 30% over last March, and that organic seed sales were up 46% in January from a year earlier. One of its new products, the Money Garden, is a $9.95 packet of six basic vegetables. It's aimed at first-time gardeners and folks who haven't turned a shovel in years, and it's selling well, said Burpee spokeswoman Kristen Grill. South Carolina-based Park Seeds sells a similar Victory Garden packet. Burpee commissioned a study last year that said that $50 in seeds and fertilizer in a garden can produce $1,200 in fresh produce, depending on weather, insects, and disease. Burpee Chairman and CEO George Ball said, "The Obamas are selling a superb example of our country's citizens and particularly for America's children. Gardens inspire the kind of optimism the American public is craving right now," Bill said. Simon, a soft-spoken Peace Corps veteran, plans to work on a Connecticut garden this summer. He was excited to learn that some of the seeds planted at the White House descended from plants cultivated by Thomas Jefferson, who saw himself as a farmer first and viewed an agrarian society as the bulwark of any democracy. Simon also was encouraged by the success of what he called purposely non-confrontational politics. He and Gusto Rahr operated on the whole nudge theory of change, Simon said. If you give people suggestions of what to do, they just might change their behavior, he said. You make it easier to do what you ultimately want to happen without legislation. So it is a great nudge case study there at the White House now. Michelle Obama is being the change that she wants to see. Woohoo! Yay! Very cool. So now I'm going to play a clip by Michael Pollan, and he is a journalist. He's a professor at Berkeley, and he's written several books about food. And this clip is talking about gardening. So I'll just go ahead and play it. All right, I guess I won't. Having some technical difficulty there. I think I'll try to play that next time, because it's a great clip. Anyway, so what I'd like to say is that, oh yeah, if you'd like to get more information about anything I've talked about today, then you can go to my Facebook page, which is Your Homegrown Food Show. So if you go to Facebook and just type in Your Homegrown Food Show, You can find my page and the page for this show. And I put links to all the articles I read from today. And I also put links to any information that I talk about on the show. And so if you want to keep up to date on whatever's going on with the show, you can find all that information on my Facebook page, Your Homegrown Food Show. And next, I would like to talk about fruit trees, because this is the end of the time of year when it's good to plant bare root fruit trees. The best time to plant bare root fruit trees is January and February, but we can still plant some now if you are so inclined. It's not too late. It's kind of the end of that time. So I know that a lot of nurseries and plant stores in the area are having sales on their fruit trees. So now's a good time to buy them if you are thinking about putting in any fruit trees in your yard or garden, or your community garden if you have a plot there or something. So I have this really fabulous book that I'd like to read from. It's called The Home Orchard, Growing Your Own Deciduous Fruit and Nut Trees. And it's by University of California Agriculture and Natural Resources Publication. It's a great, great book. And I was just going to read a little bit about planting fruit trees. You can also plant non-bare root fruit trees. And those are fruit trees that come in a container and they have soil around the roots, and you can plant those at any time. But if you go to the nursery and you see trees that don't have soil on them, they're not in a container, they're bare root trees, now is the time to plant those. Although you can plant containerized fruit and nut trees at any time of year, the most common time of year for buying them is January and February, when they are dormant and available as bare root trees. That's just what I said. The best bare root trees have a trunk diameter from 1/2 to 5/8 of an inch. A tree like this will usually have a better survival rate and be quicker to establish than a smaller or larger bare root tree. At the nursery, select trees that are healthy and do not show signs of disease. The roots of a bare root tree should be strong, healthy, and mostly unbroken. They should also be relatively straight, preferably with no sharp kinks or twists of large roots. Branch development may be useful in a bare root tree in the nursery, but it is not essential since the trunk and most or all branches will be cut off at planting time. For a containerized tree, the leaves and shoots should have vigorous growth and dark green color. Ideally, the branches should be spaced evenly along the trunk. Of equal importance, at least some of the branches should originate within about 2 feet of the soil level, since low branching is often desirable. If possible, inspect the roots and avoid trees that are severely root bound. Also avoid trees that were recently potted in early spring from bare root and have not yet established enough of a root system to hold the container soil in place upon transplanting. So, for site selection for planting your fruit trees, plant your new fruit trees where they will receive full sun for 6 to 8 or more hours per day during the growing season. A location with too much shade will reduce the amount and quality of fruit the tree can produce. Sunny exposures also encourage the best tree growth and development. Plant trees that may be susceptible to damage by wind and frost in locations where they can be sheltered and may benefit from heat retained by nearby buildings or trees. Fruit and nut trees grow and produce best in soil that is at least 3 feet deep and is uniform, has no compacted or stratified soil layers, and well drained, not excessively clayey. If the soil in your garden is not this deep, or you have removed or compacted some topsoil during construction, your tree's growth may be stunted and the fruit may be small. Special attention to watering and fertilization, however, may make it possible for you to grow fruit trees successfully in as little as 1 to 1.5 feet of good topsoil. Methods for improving poor soils are described in the next section. I don't know if I'll get through to the next section, but if you have any questions about that, you can email me yourhomegrownfood@gmail.com, and I can tell you about amending the soil for your new fruit trees. Select a site that has a ready supply of water from a hose or from drip or sprinkler irrigation. Bear in mind how large the tree will be when mature. An unpruned standard-sized tree can reach 25 feet or taller if allowed to, so avoid planting trees under power lines or other overhead obstructions. Allow enough space around the tree for pruning, spraying, harvesting, raking leaves, and other maintenance operations. Good air circulation around trees can help prevent disease. Take advantage of the fact that fruit trees can be quite beautiful when in bloom. Plant them where you can see and enjoy them. If you plant a tree near a sidewalk or lawn, be prepared to harvest fruit regularly in order to keep it from dropping to the ground and creating a nuisance. A backyard or side yard may be preferable to a front yard if fruit theft is a consideration. So I have another minute or two, so I'll read a little bit about preparing the planting site. Many home gardeners have soil that is loose and well-drained. Many others, however, have less than ideal soil conditions for drainage and root growth, including heavy clay soil that has been compacted by heavy equipment and layers of hardpan formed when mineral deposits become cemented to soil particles beneath the soil surface. Ideally, a compacted soil should be cultivated or excavated to a depth and width that will allow adequate root exploration and movement of water through the soil. Some commercial growers use tractor-mounted deep ripping shanks or backhoes before planting to bake through compacted zones or to mix stratified soil. For the home gardener, it may be possible to break through compacted soil or hardpan with tools that are available at equipment rental outlets, such as pickaxe, a powered soil auger, a trencher, or a jackhammer with a clay spade attachment. Such work is best done with soil that is neither dry nor too wet, but has the consistency of a wrung-out sponge. Another alternative is simply to create large mounds of tree planting or berms, or to build a raised bed at the planting site about 1 to 2 feet tall and fix it with a mix of native soil and good quality topsoil. So that's a little bit about growing fruit trees. Now's a good time to, like I said, plant your bare root trees if you are thinking about doing that. If you don't have the space, you can grow trees in containers, like the article said. It's possible to have a nice little apple tree or a citrus tree in a container. And there's some things you might want to think about before you go ahead and buy your tree to get your soil ready and think about your location. And again, like I said before, if you have any questions about anything I talked about or about anything to do with gardening, specifically this week about growing fruit trees, you can email me at yourhomegrownfood@gmail.com. I also have a website you can check out, yourhomegrownfood.com. And if you want to go over any of the information I talked about today, you can find links to the websites and articles at my Facebook page, which is Your Homegrown Food Show. If you go to Facebook and then type in Your Homegrown Food Show, then you can find links to a lot of the things I talked about. So I think that wraps up the show for today. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Your Homegrown Food on 101.1 FM and freakradio.org. And I'm your host, Wander Fox. Thanks for listening.
Oh, hell. How about a love song? There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes up in the morning, out in the garden. Get you a ripe one, do not get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big one. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. All picket guy. You can go out to eat, that's for sure, but nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew, make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, eat them with gravy, eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on the side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, what'd life be without homegrown?